Tonight, we're fortunate to have one of my favorite speakers with us. Every time he speaks of new and unique views on life. And he never fails to tell an interesting and entertaining story, or two. He's a writer, a thinker, and a philosopher. And he is Steve Cook.
Oh, it's good to be here. You have no idea how chaotic it is out there. Or maybe you do, and that's why you're here too. Wow. Just to kind of get today off my shoulders, I woke up at dark 30 this morning and decided to go to my favorite coffee shop to write something down and get it off my mind and get it on paper, get it turned in. And I ordered my coffee and I sat down and I realized I didn't have my book. I didn't have my notepad, didn't have my pen, didn't have my notes. So I sat and had my coffee and said, you know what, I'm just going to try to enjoy these few moments. And then when I got in my car and I left, I'm supposed to turn right to go home, and I ended up going left. And the only way that I understood that I'd even taken a wrong turn was I ended up at the gates of Cabrillo Monument, and they said they're closed until 9 a.m. Wow. I went, how did I get here? So that's kind of how my day's gone. So it's good to see all your faces here, and it's good to be here in a safe space where, you know, none of that craziness is. I don't know if you all have been watching the Tour de France and those crazy bicyclists who are supposed to ride 2,100-something miles in 3 weeks and climb these incredible mountains and do it at blinding speeds. But my heart, when Lindy asked for a prayer to go out, was to those guys for me today. Because I was riding this weekend, and my friend at 10 miles an hour fell, and he's covered in cuts and bruises. And these guys fly off cliffs at 50 miles an hour and break femurs and fly into barbed wire fences and get 33 stitches and ride the next day. So, and my prayers are also with the women's soccer team. Yeah. Anyhow, none of that has anything to do with what I have to say tonight, or maybe it has everything to do with it. What I wanted to talk to you all about was the butterfly effect. I'm sure you've all heard about it. And in the field of mathematics called chaos theory, the butterfly effect is a model where small change at one place in a nonlinear system, and don't try to understand this, it's just a definition, can result in large differences to a later state. So basically what that means is the system is sensitive to and dependent upon input and conditions. So whatever happens, it's going to affect stuff down the road. For example, and thus the butterfly effect, the presence of a butterfly flapping its wings leads to the creation of a hurricane somewhere in the world. One small, even insignificant incident at the opposite end of the earth may have a large and even larger and catastrophic effect elsewhere in the world. We're talking about the smallest and most insignificant events, a butterfly flapping its wings, and the power those events hold to actually cause a hurricane somewhere else in the world. It might also be important to remember that a butterfly is doing what it did in order to get somewhere, or adjust its landing on a flower, or to attract a mate, or to eat. All essential things. It had no malice of forethought. It was just doing what it needed to do. The butterfly's flappings expanded and spread. We don't really understand how this happens out there. I can imagine little ripples of air passing on the wind, caught up in eddies and currents, amplified and orchestrated in some way. But by the time it reached the other side of the world, the ripple really had nothing more to do with the butterfly or its wings. It's simply now a natural disaster. Sounds like me in the morning. Either I wake up lovingly and share that love with my wife, or I wake up like a fanged, angry butterfly from my cocoon after a long metamorphosis and growl at her. How do I affect her day? How does that affect her employees and her patients? How does it affect her patients' families? And on and on and on and on. This is the butterfly effect. And you think what you did had nothing to do with what happened over there, but it just might. It just might. The pretty little butterfly got complicated, didn't it? You know, here's this little thing, and he didn't know that flapping his wings to get at a little nectar was going to cause something over here, but it did. If we hold this true, what does it mean for us? Do we have a butterfly effect on the world? What does it mean for our actions and who and what we might affect and how we affect them? We're people in the world full of other things and other beings. We do small and insignificant things as well as important things every day of our lives, all day long. We interact with other people in concert with them or against them. And then there are those we don't even interact with. A small action could change the world in ways we cannot know or control. This makes me want to stand very, very still. Not breathe, not blink an eye. I don't want to be responsible for an action through batting an eye and be implicated in some disaster somewhere out there that I couldn't even fathom at the time of my action. What a powerful and terrible responsibility. But in the time that I said I wouldn't blink or breathe, I've done that many times. I've flapped my arms. I've adjusted my weight from foot to foot. I just can't stop myself. So then, have I just created numerous disasters all around the world? Am I responsible for all of that? I didn't mean anything by it. It just happened as I was talking to you here. They were just absent-minded, essentially bodily functions that I did. So I'm confused. I'm afraid to move or breathe or bat an eye talking here. That butterfly, wherever he is so lucky. What a wonderful, simple life. Eating, finding a mate, traveling on the wind. No recall, no forethought, just instinct. Oh, there's another flower. Oh, what a beautiful butterfly. Here I am in the sunshine sipping nectar. But that's not true for us. People are sensitive to what we do and say. And in this, the butterfly effect is dependent on us. So now to free will. I said I would climb in the Himalayas above 20,000 feet before I'm 50. I got 2 years to accomplish this goal. And time is flying by. The peak I want to climb is called Island Peak. It stands at 20,350 feet. So it's so named because looking down on it from the higher peaks around it and looking at its rocky edges protruding from the sea of ice and snow, it stands there like an island. From Island, looking west and then going clockwise, the great peaks like Everest, K2, Lhotse, all of them are visible. However, they stand another 10,000 feet above that. There will be no butterflies up there but me. The air is thin and very cold. To move forward and upward takes great strength. My lungs will burn from the effort. My fingers and toes will be numb. My mind will be focused on the bare essentials of breathing and stepping. To get there, I will have blinked 15 times a minute for approximately 6,298,845 times. I will have breathed 14 times a minute for approximately 5,878,845 breaths in my lifetime. That's a lot of disaster. Without being responsible for my thoughts, words, or actions, it's just what that is, disaster waiting to happen. But am I really talking about butterfly wings flapping? No. Am I talking about natural disaster? No. Well, what am I standing up here talking about then? It's the ripple that's important. It's the effect of spreading, pervasive, and usually unintentional effects and influences on others. And when I talk about the butterfly effect, I believe the ripple felt by its wings is spiritual. I mean that all breathing and blinking will not have destroyed, flooded, stranded, or ruined anything. Instead, who I am being, what I say and do makes a difference. If I were to do something funny, you all would laugh. If I were to do something mean, you all would frown, or maybe worse. That's the ripple. This is the spiritual nature of my action. It's that simple, yet that hard. To stay focused on being the kind of person who spreads smiles everywhere, no matter how I am, how I feel, or what my situation is at home or at the office. You know, Muhammad climbed a mountain. Jesus climbed a mountain too with three disciples. Buddha probably climbed one too. So I'm in good company here. Why climb the mountain? Why visit the windswept rocks and the ices of the highest reaches of the earth? For me, I'll be closer to God. I'll be doing something that I love that gives me great satisfaction. Climbing mountains and being in places where no light of any kind blots out the stars. It's silent. It's windswept. It's a rocky patch in God's garden. And it's like taking a deep, deep breath. That when you exhale, your whole body just lets go, relaxes, gives up tension and worry, if just for a second. So I want everybody here to take just a moment and just take one breath and just let everything go. You focus on that breath for that very instant. You had nothing else, no other concern, anything else in the world. That's peaceful. Now, give thanks that breath was a spiritual breath, and know and rest assured that we're not directly responsible for that breath of any disasters in the world. Cherish it. We have such a short time here on earth. When I think about who I am, who I have become, so much of my time here was learning, searching, yearning. I wish I could say for certain that I've used all of this time and all this breath and all those blinks wisely while holding God's hand. What I can say is that I'm not going to use my time the same way I did years ago. I've grown and I've learned. I've embraced certain things like peace found on a mountain. I have gained experience which I can share with others, like the breath you just took. I can tell you what peace looks like and feels like for me, how it has affected my life. That is one of my ripples in the pond of life. There are so many influences and people with whom we interact every day that we cannot properly total all the effects of all of these influences. This is not considering that we bring to the what we bring to the day with our own personal histories and our emotional baggage. Yet what's clear is that we have free will. We make choices about what we see, what we hear, what we say, and what we do. Free will take you many places, as you know. Choose wisely so that you fulfill your dreams. You may be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. Be sure to do whatever's necessary to ensure your dreams come true. So before we get back to our mundane charges, like changing diapers, emptying bedpans, wiping our nose, weeding the garden, putting gas in the car, paying bills, putting things away, shutting off the lights, worrying about the ones you love, stressing over life, recall why. You have free will. You don't have to do any of that. But we do. We control our attitude and our giving spirit. We can be sure our ripples in life are just as we want them to be. Be sure you're holding God's hand, and remember that free will is yours, and that all you come from, and that all of you come from God as the source. We each have an unknown number of breaths to go. I want to leave you with a poem by Naomi Nye titled The Art of Disappearing. When they say, "Don't I know you?" say no. When they invite you to a party, remember what parties are like before answering. Someone telling you in a loud voice that they once wrote a poem, greasy sausage balls on paper plate, then reply. If they say, "We should get together," say, "Why?" It's not that you don't love them anymore. You're trying to remember something too important to forget. Trees, the monastery bell at twilight. Tell them you have a new project. It will never be finished. When someone recognizes you in the grocery store, nod briefly and become a cabbage. When someone you haven't seen in 10 years appears at the door, don't start singing him all your new songs. You'll never catch up. Walk around feeling like a leaf. You know you could tumble at any second. Then decide to do with your time. Thank you for your time and attention.